Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Hell, Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get him.
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now, here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
All right. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. People, we are in a drive for donations. If you want a daily podcast, become a patron, donate what you can. Every $300 we raise, you get an extra podcast for the week. So
it's true.
So we have $50 donated to the first 300. If you donate $300, you get an extra podcast. You have to donate to be able to listen. So if one person out there wants to donate the rest of the 300 and donate like $250, and me and Andrew will do a podcast for 14 people. But that doesn't happen. Donate what you can. You get a free podcast. Like we did Shane Vereen update last week. It'll be kind of like that, but longer. And we'll do it every day if we can, if you raise enough money. So donate, click on the Patreon button, do it. We love you. And find us on the Facebook, the Twitters, and the YouTubes. Search Happy Hour Podcast. So, gentlemen, we've made it. We've made it through the dark sadness of the offseason. We have made it to football season. The Saints report to camp this week gloriously.
The rookies.
No, when did the veterans report?
I don't know.
Andrew, when did the veterans report?
Am I supposed to keep tabs on this? I mean, here's the thing. I used to blog
every day.
Last off season was the last off season where I blogged, and I did it every day, and I basically pulled the plug like right as the season was starting, because it was one of those things where it was just, I had gotten through another off season, and I was just like, oh my god, this was horrible. And as the season was starting, I just told myself, like, I can't go through a season.
You really
after,
pulled the plug on blogging and pulled the plug on the blog, because that blog is dead now, right? Correct?
Yeah. Well, Brian tried to keep it going, but nobody could keep Saints Nation going like me. I mean, no, it was an exercise of self torture, basically. at the end of the day, it's amazing how, like, when I'm not on the grind, like trying to conjure ideas about what to write about every day, it's amazing how much more freedom I've had, but also just like, I haven't thought about football.
The dates.
It's been really nice.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crept up on me. So like now we're a week away from actual games and I'm excited because I haven't been, you know, overanalyzing every single week of the off season, the moment that's about to come up. It's like I'm kind of like prepping for it organically now. I'm excited to hear that we're like a week away from football.
So well, Dave,
we're like, we're like 2 weeks away from like the first preseason game. We're 1 week away from maybe like the Hall of Fame game.
Is that true? The Saints play in 2 weeks?
Maybe even three. My point is like we're not as close as you. I mean, we're getting close, yes, but like
that feels pretty close.
I mean, we're not really going to have news until next week, I don't think.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, I mean, preseason is the first preseason game is the 9th, 6 o'clock Jaguars.
So that's almost 3 weeks away.
So you know we're getting there, but I mean, I guess as the hype for the Saints is pretty good. I saw
the hype is real.
The AP predicted Saints in Atlanta in the NFC title game. The Saints losing to Atlanta.
Wow. That would be something.
Oh, that would be miserable. if you had it, I would rather ensure Atlanta's failure than have the Saints have success. Like, if you Andrew, we talked about this last year. Like, people wanted the Saints and the Falcons in the NFC title game, and I was like, no, I don't want that. That's like, it's too much to bear. I'll just have Atlanta lose. Thank you very much. And I was right, you know, because if Atlanta would have beat Philadelphia and then the Saints had lost to Minnesota, oh, that would have been the worst.
It would have been bad.
Before we get to grading the linebackers and my Saints training camp Twitter addiction, I want to touch on, because it's swirling around, the whole thing with the flag. And I don't want to get back on the whole.
Oh, we're just going right into that, huh?
Yeah, not like, I don't want to get into, like, I feel like it's all just gone about the whole thing of, like, why they're kneeling. Like, that's totally gone. Now it's just like a punching bag that Trump and other politicians are going to use in the fall for the election. Andrew, I thought maybe the NFL had a chance to escape this madness, this horrible thing of it keep coming up and up and up. If they'd have just said, look, players are staying in the locker room for the anthem, and the fans are going to be extra patriotic. The players can't, they don't want to focus on the anthem. We're just going to keep them in the locker room so the fans and the singer can be extra patriotic, and then the players will come out after. And that would have solved fucking everything. But now it's going to go on all year, isn't it? It's going to be 3-4 times a year. Like, just when we think it's gone, Trump's going to tweet, and it's going to come right back up. That's how this is going to go, correct? Like, it's my nightmare.
Yeah. Was it Jarrell Casey who came out and said that he was going to do some form of protest during the anthem?
Yeah.
That he's already come out and said. I mean, that's a high-profile player. You know, I don't know that the Titans would do anything to him. I mean, they can't really afford to not have him on the field. So, you know, I think it's only a matter of time before, obviously, Brady and Breeze, those aren't the type of guys that are going to do it. But I think it's only a matter of time before it's not Colin Kaepernick or even Eric Reed, who's a good player, but, you know, teams can kind of blackball him because a good safety is still, you know, not make or break. But, you know, eventually it's going to be Antonio Brown or, you know, Alvin Kamara, you know, or whatever. Eventually it's going to be a player that you can't bench and you can't afford to not have on the field. And then I think, unfortunately, you know, the way it's set up and the way the league is about superstar power, I think then it will carry more weight. So I don't, the thing that blows my mind is that as progressive as the NBA is, I am shocked that they have no issues with this. Like, how is that possible? How is it that everyone in the NBA is respecting the anthem and not, they've had no issues with this?
It's a great question. Maybe Goodell's just terrible at his job.
Yeah, for whatever reason, like, the NFL is just the tension between the presidency and the players, and, you know, maybe part of it is bad relations with the commissioner, but I don't see this going away. I think it's going to be more annoying. I think some players might be more afraid to do this, so we might see it less. You know, like, I don't think it'll be whole teams. It'll be more like individual players. And I think a lot of guys will be like, "Man, I don't want to risk my paycheck over this." So, you know, I think more guys will second guess it now that there's a policy in place and that fines are clear. But still, man, I don't think this is going away. And, you know, the people that have been anti-Saints and said, "I'm never watching him again," they've been pretty stubborn and relentless. So I think you will see more people like that when this comes, unfortunately. I mean, Dave, do you disagree? I mean, I don't really feel like this is going away.
Dave, what do you
think? Maybe when Trump is not president anymore, you know?
I'm surprised that Ralph decided to lead off with this.
Here's the thing.
Wait. I had to listen to you choose, okay?
Here's a poor choice.
Now it's my turn. I don't want to talk much about it. And the reason I don't want to talk much about it, honestly, is because, Ralph, I agree with you. I'm sick of it. I'm totally sick of it. I listen to a lot of talk radio in my car. I'm sick of people talking about it. I'm sick of reading about it. I support the players. I'm fine with them protesting. But I'm just sick of the fact that it's taken over, you know, instead of talking about actual play, you know, what's going on the field, we continue to discuss the protesting, and we're not discussing the protesting and how we need to change as a society and what the protest is about. We're just talking about the protests and whether it's good or bad or whether we like it or not. So unfortunately, I feel like all the talk about it isn't doing what the protesters are supposed
intended,
to be doing.
Yeah.
Here's my question, and then we'll get off.
But you know, Ralph, you started off by saying I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing about it.
I am,
and I feel the same way. Yet here we are, and you chose to lead. I thought this was like going to be the last thing we talked about today.
I know.
And you chose to lead off the podcast with this topic.
I know.
And now all of our listeners, who probably also are sick of it, now they're listening to it too. So I didn't really want to talk about this. I wasn't going to say much about this because I don't want to contribute to it because I feel like it's too much. I'm sick of it. So why should I be the person that contributes to it? It makes it just as worse.
Our host
tough
is terrible.
Tough crowd.
It is. Our host is terrible. That's why he doesn't win awards. I'm totally bitter about that. I will admit it. So for actual Saints news, Andrew, for people that didn't listen to our mini cast, they signed a running back, Shane Vereen, which I thought it meant that they were super desperate at running back, but Daniel Lasco is like, his career is probably over. Like, they waived him. Like, he had that really bad injury last year. So, like, signing Vereen wasn't like this panic move or desperation. But, I mean, we said it on the quick shot, but you can reiterate it. Like, I still think we have no fucking idea who's getting those carries that Ingram was going to get.
Yeah. We don't. I mean, it's not going to be Vereen. Vereen's like a receiving back. Yeah. If you look at his career, he's had some plays here and there on the ground, but he's really been a receiver. So, you know, he's like a Travis Cadet, a plus version of Travis Cadet. So
yeah, but do you hear that, Dave?
What is that, the Terrence West hype train?
No, that's the Boston Scott. That's the Boston Scott hype train.
I'm going to be honest. They keep signing these guys, and I think it's a sign, and they keep bringing in veterans off the street that don't have jobs. And there's a lot of names. I mean, if you look at the depth chart, people know who Terrence West is. They know who Shane Vereen. I mean, these are guys that have been in the league that have done things. But I think they keep adding these guys because none of them are any good. And if they felt good about their undrafted rookies, if they had like a Kyrie or a Chris Ivory type guy, they wouldn't be signing these veterans. So unfortunately, that's not a good sign for me. But I don't know. On the flip side, I think Sean Payton's always figured out a way. If a running back has any ounce of talent and he's on the field, Sean Payton has found a way to make him pretty good in his offense. So we'll see. Ultimately, I still think it's Trey Edmonds' job to lose. He was great last year in preseason. He was great in training camp, played very well against a Bills team that quit in the regular season in that one game. So he's been the most impressive, and he's good on special teams too. So I think that gives him a leg up, and I still think it's his job to lose.
All right, Dave.
Well, Ralph, funny you should mention, you know, you should bring this question up because just on Canal Street Chronicles today, Mr. Chris Dunnels put up a poll asking all the readers who will be the primary running back partner with Alvin Kamara in weeks 1 through 4 while Ingram serves his suspension. 517 total votes as of right now. And the top vote getter at 33%, 1/3 of all people who voted, say Terrence West is going to be the primary running back.
I don't want Terrence West.
I think West and Edmonds are battling for the carries that Ingram's getting.
Here's my question.
Number two is Boston Scott.
Yeah,
Scott and Vereen.
Nicole's stoked in the hype train.
Scott and Vereen to me are, they get more snaps if something happens to Kamara.
Most of the commenters seem to think Vereen was the guy. So take that for what you will.
All right, here's my question, and Dave, you
Trey
can
Edmonds is second to last. By the way,
if Vereen was the guy, then Vereen was signed when Lasko got injured, right? Or when Lasko was waived with a failed physical.
Yeah.
So if Vereen was really the guy, then why did the Saints sign West? Why did the Saints sign West before Vereen?
Yeah.
If Vereen was the guy, why did it take all off season for anybody to?
Broadway, Dave. He was Ben Vereen.
Is that true? Is that a factual statement?
No, Ben Vereen is a Broadway singer. He did Old Man River. He did things in the
That 70s. Was a Jonah Hill joke. Got it. Sorry.
He got run over by David Foster. It was sad. Look it up, kids. Google it. So here's my question, Dave. I give you $1 million, and I say you got to go to Vegas, and you have got to predict what running back, not Alvin Kamara, will score 15 fantasy points the first 4 weeks combined.
Oh, that's a great question.
So who is it?
I am going to say... Yeah, I'm going to say Shane Vereen. Is it PPR?
It's PPR.
Shane Vereen.
Andrew, who you got? Knowing that $1 million is on the line, all you have to do is pick the guy who's going to have the second most fantasy points to Alvin, or 15 fantasy points over 4 weeks. So it's like basically
he's
like
going to be the first non Alvin Kamara running back to get to 15 fantasy points.
Yeah,
I'm going to say it's Boston Scott in PPR leagues.
Oh, that's a good choice. I like that choice. I think.
But if you don't give me PPR, then I'd pick someone else.
I mean, how many carries are we talking here, though?
I would say, what has Ingram gone? 4 weeks?
Yeah.
I bet it's an average of 5 carries a game. I think we're talking 20 carries.
Yeah. So
I don't care what Sean Payton or the media say. Kamara's definitely getting more touches. There's no way he's not.
So if they average 4 yards on 20 carries, that's 80 yards. It's 8 points. So they'd need a touchdown to get to 15, basically.
Yeah, I think that's what will happen. 80 yards rushing and one touchdown.
And a couple catches.
Yeah.
So that's really one of the big stories in Cramp. But as we've done these previews, and last week we did defensive line. This week we're doing linebackers. And Andrew, last year when we did the previews, I think it was you that made the joke. You said, look, if the Saints are going to get hit at injuries at one position, I think I would pick linebacker because they're all the same. And they're all mediocre and they're deep. And if you remove any of them, I wouldn't care. Like, it wouldn't worry me that much. This year at linebacker, do you still feel the same?
To be determined. I have to see what DeMario Davis looks like. I mean, I think there's a chance that he's going to be really good. And if he's really good and stands out as the best linebacker on the team, then obviously I don't want to see him get injured. But otherwise, I mean, I think you look at the rest and, yeah, I mean, I guess Klein and Anzalone are penciled in as the starters. But if they go down and we're stuck with Robertson and Manti Te'o or Nate Stupar. Well, Stupar probably, I don't know that I throw Stupar in the same category as Te'o and Robertson, but you know, I don't really see a huge difference. It's also kind of unresolved where Kikaha belongs on this defense because, you know, they were starting to play him in linebacker last year before he got hurt, before he ended up on IR. So, you know, is he a backup linebacker? Does he even make this team? I don't know. But I don't know. They've got a bunch of guys. And again, to me, they all kind of seem the same.
Dave, who do you think, if I said who do you think is going to be the best linebacker, who would you say?
Well, it better be Davis, right? With all the money they freaking paid him.
By the way, he's very big into off the field stuff and prison reform and that sort of thing. And he might be a guy that would speak up regarding the flag at the beginning of the summer.
He's the off the charts favorite. I would say he's the favorite ahead of, I would say, Cam Jordan and Mark Ingram. He's the odds-on favorite for Saint most likely to get fined during the anthem.
And he'll draw a lot of fan hatred if he's not. He better be good because he does a lot of wonderful things off the field, but fans will not like him because he's very outspoken, very well-spoken, and that sort of thing. I'm looking forward to it because I like controversy and I like people being mad on Twitter. Dave, who's going to be the Saints' best linebacker?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Andrew just said it. I mean, it should be DeMario Davis. I mean, that's kind of why they brought him in here. They paid him.
I mean, there's a serious problem if he's not.
He's up and down, though, dude. He was, like, really good with the Jets, went to Cleveland, was terrible, went back to the Jets and was really good again. So he's, like, up and down. Like, I would say he's not a short thing. And I was, like, when I saw the contract the Saints gave him, I was like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money for that dude. Like, am I the only one that thought that?
No,
but if he's terrible or if he's like just another guy, then this is once again kind of a bad misstep in free agency by Loomis.
At linebacker.
So I definitely would not be happy if he was mediocre.
Okay.
So
wait, but can we have a serious discussion though? Is it really pronounced Anzalone? I there's no way that's correct.
Anzalone. It's just fun to say Anzalone.
What do you think? You think it's Anzalone?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I do. Because, okay, when you go to a pizza place and you order the thing that's like a pizza except it's totally wrapped in dough, what do you call that thing?
Calzone. You know,
there you go. Zone. You call it a calzone. The last E is silent. Now, I mean, technically, I think if you were really Italian, I think you'd say calzone. So I would pronounce it Anzalone. I would think that would be the proper Italian pronunciation.
But so you would...
Anzalone hurts my ears. There's no way that's right.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to be Italian, yes, it's Anzalone.
Yeah,
but yeah.
That's the way we should pronounce it every single time. Did we lose Ralph?
I'm here. No, I was looking up. I was looking up his name. How to pronounce his name, and he did it on Twitter. But I can't play it because obviously we're doing the show. But the thing is, I think we need for Anzalone. I think I need to do the sound effect of the Super Mario Brothers video game. Every time we mention him. Just have the little sound effect of the dude growing, you know, when he eats the mushroom. That's the key. I want Anzalone to be the best linebacker. One, because I can butcher his name or get it right all year. We can play the sound effect all year. And his hair is just magnificent. And...
I mean, I want to like him. He was... You know, he was hit or miss. You know, he was responsible for some good plays in those first 3-4 weeks or whatever. And he was also single-handedly responsible for blown coverage.
But he can go, though. Like, he made a play in Miami, the play that he got hurt on, where you were like, wow. Like, he chased the dude down.
He covers a lot of feet. Yeah, he's got a lot of energy, and he's high motor, and he runs around out there. And he stands, which to me, he sticks out like a sore thumb in the Saints linebacker core. Because he's so much... He's just way more all over the field to me. He seems way more all
his
over
hair
the field
flows like
than
a
everybody
golden
else.
River. That's why he stands out, Dave.
No, I mean maybe it's the hair that just makes him look faster. Makes him look like he's always in motion. I don't know.
Andrew, what linebacker has the best physical skills for the Saints?
I don't know. I keep looking
That's
at his hair.
That's not asking who's the most well endowed and.
I mean, I keep looking at his hair, and to me, that's the best physical trait. So, I pick Anzalone.
All right. So if we.
I mean, the biggest thumper is Robertson. That guy destroys people.
I forgot about him. He's
in the
like,
run game.
All these people. I'm like, he's still on the team.
But every once in a while, you know, he'll shoot the gap on a blitz. and he'll be untouched, and he just annihilates quarterbacks.
Well, if I get to go through the defensive line untouched, I could annihilate a quarterback too.
Well, here's the thing, Robertson, man, he's like the black. Like,
I know he's not the fastest, but I don't know. He's always fun to watch. I feel like always overachieves, and he kind of gets a raw deal amongst fans.
Craig Robertson is the black Scott Shanley. Fans hate him.
Who and hates him? Why do people hate him? I haven't
Saints
heard of that.
Coaching staff.
Brian Pavic hates
loves
him.
Him.
There's one guy on Twitter that hates Craig Robertson.
Maybe. No, there's others. Brian's got a following. Brian's thing is Brian never changes his mind. Like, he just, like, once he takes his position, he just, like, he's like World War I trench warfare. He just, like, digs in and digs in and digs in.
Wait, so who, Sigler hates Robertson, I think. No,
they all, like, all, like, a lot of the tape eaters, like, they don't like Robertson. And, they, like, the grades on him are up and down. But, like, the coaching staff, like, because he knows where to be, and, like, he's... Like, Robertson will make mistakes, but he doesn't make mistakes of, like, what the fuck you doing mistakes. He makes, like, the, oh, he's not fast enough mistake, which coaches, yeah. Fans, that drives us crazy. But coaches, the mistakes that drive them crazy, Andrew, is, like, you were supposed to be here and you were fucking there. You know, Robertson doesn't
he's
make.
He's a pretty good playmaker. He's got nine career.
I love that explanation.
He's got 9 career interceptions.
So I'm gonna do this sound effect here. The wheel spinning. And Andrew, when the wheel stops.
No money, no whammy, stop.
The wheel stops and you have to pick a Saints linebacker to get injured. Who would you pick? Of the starters.
This is good karma.
Yes.
Yeah, wait, why do I want to do this?
Because I'm just saying you have to. So, like, this try to, like, separates well, out the...
I mean, can I pick an... Am I allowed to pick an undrafted rookie?
No, you have to pick a person that's going to make the 53.
Starting linebacker, injure him now. Do it.
And wheel of death.
This is like Saw.
If you
don't do it, then you're going to be the one that dies, Andrew.
I'll pick Manti Te'o.
So, Dave, when the wheel of death stops, you have to pick a linebacker to injure.
No whammy. Stop. Nate Stupar.
Is he a starter?
That dude's coming back from such a brutal injury. You're so mean, Dave.
Oh, Dave.
Isn't he coming back from an ACL or worse?
Isn't everybody?
Yeah, true.
Oh, man, you
Colton,
are...
I wanted to say Colton Jumper, but...
Oh, don't we need to talk about Mitch Lowen saving a life?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I meant to
bring that up. I think it's Levin. I think his name is pronounced Levin.
He was going to make the team last year, right? Before he, like, injured his knee.
I think it's pronounced Anzaloan.
I meant to bring that up on the last show with Ralph, and I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Because apparently he wanted to, like, meet the guy. He was, like, asking to meet the guy that he saved out of that car.
So, Andrew, describe it for people that don't know it, like, what he did, because it's pretty fucking amazing.
Well, I think he was in the warehouse district, right?
Yeah.
It was in the CBD, and a car, which this has happened before, a car...
It cliff dove off a third floor garage, a parking garage.
Yeah. He either hit the gas when he was not supposed to or whatever, and he went over the edge of a parking garage and onto the ground. He survived the fall.
Maybe he was SUV parked in a compact cars only.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And Mitchell Levin was there, and he was one of, a handful of people that was able to pull the driver out of the vehicle.
I mean, it's, from what I read, it sounded like, you know, obviously anytime something crazy like that happens, there's a lot of people that are shocked and they don't know what to do. And, you know, I think the thing that was amazing about it was that he was cognizant of what was going on and, you know, kind of took the bull by the horns type A and took control of the situation and, you know, quickly ran over and try to see what he could do to help, and then kind of motivated others to help and kind of was giving people direction. So I don't know. That's what I took from it. I wasn't there, obviously, but pretty impressive, you know, in a crisis situation for him to be like that. And yeah, I mean,
Dave,
it's kind of a heroic thing. Dave, you know what it reminded me of? Do you guys remember when like Cam Cleveland pulled a guy out of a burning car or failed to do so?
The only thing I know about Cam Cleveland is he's got his ass whipped with a bag of sock, a sock full of quarters. That's the only thing I ever remember about Cam Cleveland, and he was hurt all the time. How you remember and that Cam Cleveland was an off the field hero? But Dave, you know, if you're in a parking lot and you almost drive off the third floor of the parking lot, is that
what about today?
The worst day of your life.
Yeah.
Is the guy alive? He survived.
Yeah,
he survived. Yeah. It wouldn't be that's a good story, Andrew, if he didn't survive, right?
Yeah, but he's going to make it. I mean, yeah, I'm sure he had horrible injuries, right?
No, I think
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was all right. Like, I thought the car was like I didn't think it fell. I thought it was like dangling, and they pulled him out before it fell. But I could be wrong about that.
I thought it fell.
I saw some pictures of a Mercedes SUV like on the ground floor.
Mangled,
yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could easily survive. If it was only like the third floor and you only fell two floors, and if maybe the car fell
only.
Well, I'm just saying.
I don't know, man.
And like, I mean, if it landed like on the passenger side, I mean, and you know, you had the entire width of the car to brace your fall at, and you were wearing a seatbelt, obviously. I think you would need to be wearing your seatbelt to survive this.
I don't know, Dave.
My guess is that person was wearing his seatbelt.
I mean, it's a lot of metal and concrete coming together at high speeds. So here's the interesting thing before we get to Twitter questions that
I mean, not that high speed. I mean, if it was
third, like, it was, well, so we don't. I don't do math. I can barely.
Well, if that was like, I mean, I this could be wrong, but if that was like 30 meters or whatever, then what is it? 9.8 meters per second you fall. I don't know. I don't remember.
And you got in your heavy.
I was good at physics.
You were good at physics. Now you sell hand warmers with Greek insignias on them for a 400% markup. So as we get into training camp, Andrew, you know, we always have the big arguments on Saints Twitter, right? We fight with each other. We fight with Saints media. They block us. They unblock us. They leave us alone. What argument is going to dominate at least the first couple weeks of Saints training camp and maybe the first couple games? What are we going to argue about in training camp?
I cannot believe. To me, it's been so shocking that Taysom Hill has taken the hype train by such storm.
Can we get the sound effect here, please?
Yeah, that'd be good. Thank you.
The Taysom Hill hype train is out of control, man.
I can't believe that the Taysom Hill hype train has been so deafening.
35,000 people watched him do warm-ups on YouTube.
That I can't believe that Al-Qadeen Muhammad has not been. I mean, he was like
everyone's
superhero last year.
He was. Like,
I'm not hearing anyone talk about that guy.
How many sacks? He had 3.5 in the preseason last year.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like all he needs to do is get one more sack, and you know, it's totally back on with Al-Qadeen Muhammad.
Dave, what are we gonna? But I mean, that's not really. So you think people are gonna argue over Muhammad playing more, or like?
Yes, I think I could see Davenport getting off to a slow start. I could see Okafor kind of banged up and not ready. And they end up playing like Trey Hendrickson, a defensive end, and like he's fine. he's not flashy. He makes plays here and there, but just like Saints Twitter going nuts that Al-Kadim Muhammad's not playing over Hendricks.
Especially when he's killing people in the fourth quarter. I could see it.
Yeah.
Dave, what are people going to be arguing over on Twitter in the preseason?
Marcus Davenport, you know, he's going to get, like you said, he's going to get off to a slow start. People are going to be like, oh, my, I can't believe we traded up for this guy. We gave up so much. He's a bust. Blah, blah, blah.
It'll go tweet to tweet during practice, right? He had a good play. He's great. He had a bad play. He's a bust.
Yeah, definitely Marcus Davenport, for sure.
Do you guys think Boston Scott could be a I feel like he could be a controversial guy in training camp for fans.
I think he could be controversial because Andrew, he was going to be my choice, and here's why. I think he could kill it in the third and fourth quarter of the preseason games as far as, like, catching and running. But, like, during practice, Nick Underhill and people will be tweeting, oh, Boston Scott missed a blitz pickup. Oh, Boston Scott didn't know how to do this. Like, and so the Saints will be like, you know what? We can't really play him because he might get Drew Brees killed. And then fans will be like, fuck that. He tore that shit up in the fourth quarter against Jaguars. You need to give him touches. So I think that's a good choice. Also, in the secondary, someone will get roasted and immediately fans will want to trade them or cut them or have them guillotined in Jackson Square.
Devontae Harris is back on the team. Just, man, throwing that out there.
Patrick Robinson, he won a Super Bowl, but he didn't win a Super Bowl with the Saints, man. The memories that most people have of him as a Saint are not good.
Isn't Devontae Harris on the roster currently?
Is he? I don't know.
I don't know. Who has good memories of Patrick Robinson?
No one.
I think. Well, then that goes without stating. I don't think you even need to say that.
Yeah.
You don't remember his pick six of 100 yard. Michael Vick?
Michael Vick, yeah. What else?
That was one good memory.
Yeah. Let's see. So that's it. So another note that I forgot because I started the show on such a bad, horrible topic, and I forgot to mention this. If you are playing again in the fantasy football leagues this year, pay your dues, DM me on the Twitters. Slide into the DMs because we got people that if you don't want to play, it's cool, but we have people that would love the spots. And this year, Andrew, the winner of each league gets a custom-made Saints Happy Hour Championship Wrestling Belt.
Oh, boy.
With your name engraved, champion of the league, shipped to your house. That's what you mean. You can put it on your mantle. You can put it in your man cave. You can wear it to work. But you're going to get a championship wrestling belt. So get excited about that, people. So we're excited. Fantasy starting back up again. I plan to have Kumara again in the auction league if it takes my whole fucking budget. So questions we have for people. This is from Reichert. Let's see. What religion has the best response rate for please insert preferred deity here, no major camp injury prayers? I don't know. Like, if you're Catholic, you just do the Hail Mary. You do, like, maybe you do the little holy water when you walk in. You sprinkle it on. Like, you can light a candle. You can go and you can light a donation candle at Catholic church. That's all I know. I don't know any other religions.
What religion was... Was the guy from Major League?
Jabu.
Yeah, Jabu. Fuck you, Jabu. Whatever religion that is.
That is.
Wasn't he like voodoo or something?
Yeah,
I guess he was like, well, that's perfect for New Orleans then.
Let's see. Do we have enough O line depth, Andrew?
No.
Not really. That's your answer. You don't need any further clarification. By the way, did we talk about Zach Streif getting Henderson's job?
Oh, we didn't. Is it official? It's not official.
Did he
yet.
Take it? I heard he was offered.
Yes,
he,
correct. He's been offered.
We need to mention people. That's a good point.
This probably pisses Ralph off that he's been offered the job.
No, I mean here's the thing. And I look.
Everybody on the radio
clearly you haven't been on Twitter seeing Ralph's 17 tweets about it.
Well, everybody on radio here, local radio, you know, they love Zach Streif, but they just don't get it. I mean, they just do not get it. He has zero experience, and like, how does he get to go to the front of the line and get the
that's
the
football player
job?
Privilege, Dave. That's what that is.
Wait, people are actually saying that?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean okay.
Who has come out on the radio and said that?
Oh, every Chris Gordy. Mm-hmm. Who else was I listening to today? Eric, I don't know. I listen to a lot of WWL, and I listen to...
Let's the station actually doing the games. So people
station. Actually, I don't know. No, I guess probably not on WWL. So I've been listening to 1280 AM, which is... I don't even know what that is. It's in Houston, too. It's like Josh Innes in the morning.
Yeah.
Chris Gordy, Eric... what's his face?
Asher.
Chris Gordy, actually. Yeah, Eric Asher. And all those guys, I mean, they all, you know, they all say the same thing. Like, you know,
they're
obviously.
Just
well, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, the fact is that he's not going to, this isn't a color job. This is a play by play job. And this, and to do play by play takes more than doing color. You know, like Deuce McAllister can just step in and do color, you know, because it's a lot easier. And, you know, he has experience playing football, but to do the play-by-play, you know, you've got to be able to paint the picture every time that there's a snap. You know, he's in shotgun formation, two receivers out wide, one out left.
One of the most famous play-by-plays was Pat Summerall, and he was a kicker.
There are people, yes.
Andrew, that's a good one.
There are definitely people, I think, they had mentioned the guy at, like,
Pat Summerall was a drunk.
There are
drunk, liquored-up kicker.
Well, okay, but my question, did Pat
and
Summerall...
And it's iconic.
Did Pat Summerall immediately go from being a drunk kicker and retiring to being the head guy on NBC Sports?
Pretty much.
Pretty much,
yep.
He wasn't the head guy, but he pretty much went from kicking to announcing football games. But it was the 60s, so it was different.
I would assume that these people had Zach Strief come in and run some videotape and say, okay,
Zach. He's done over 100 games.
I mean, I would assume that they've heard him and that he's obviously already at a fairly acceptable level. So, I mean.
Listen. First of all, Strief is a well-spoken guy. We can all agree on this.
Secondly,
have you?
I think Ralph would agree.
This is
that.
New Orleans, Dave. This isn't L.A. It's not Chicago. Have you listened to the guys that we have on the radio? I mean, no disrespect.
No disrespect.
I'm not going to name names. But
this is
Strief.
To replace.
I have never listened to Strief speak radio in my life. And I already know he's better than half the people that do it for the Saints.
Okay, but is he better than the play-by-play guy that they've had for the last 20 years?
Nobody's going to be as good. That's the point.
Here's the thing.
Those are impossible shoes to fill.
I don't think so. I don't. You know, Jim Henderson was great, but I don't think it's impossible to have another Jim Henderson.
Here's the thing. Here's the reason why. I've listened to other cities' NFL play-by-play. It's fucking terrible. The Saints are never replacing Jim Henderson. So I like the fact that they were like, we can't replace Jim Henderson. So we're not even going to try. We're going to go in a different direction. And if Strief can get the mechanics of it down, he can be great. Because he'll have a different perspective of play-by-play of an ex-player doing it. And in the short term, he knows the Sean Payton offense backwards and forwards. So it could be really interesting to have him doing the play-by-play and knowing
it. He's not able to give away too much. You think Peyton will be the first one to call him and say, "Hey, you can't be saying that shit on the air."
Well, no, but I mean, teams know. I mean, teams.
You can't be saying that we're running Y2 zebra spider right.
Banana chili.
It'll start being part of the game plan is to start listening to tapes of Zach Strief speaking for the opposing teams.
I mean, but to Ralph's point, I think the hope for us is that he's like the next Tony Romo, you know, where everybody's really surprised. It's like, holy shit, this guy is giving us way more knowledge than we've ever gotten before, like way more in-depth actual knowledge that we've never gotten before. But then again, that's Deuce's job.
Yeah, that's Deuce's job. Can he even say that stuff?
It'll be interesting. I think it has the potential to be fantastic. I also think there's a non-zero chance that it's a disaster, which if you hired Myers or Mike Haas or somebody else, you would know that, hey, there's no chance that like Joel Myers is going to be terrible, right? There's a chance. I mean, it's actually, I put it like
Myers
less than
awesome.
I would put it less than 5% chance that it's actually, because I think Zach Strief, by everything that I've read, he's really serious about it, and he sees this as a great opportunity. I mean, because think about it. He's, what, 32? 33, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
He could potentially be doing this until 2050, you know? If he did it, you know, he could do it till his mid-60s. So this is like this could be a career job. This could be a launching point to something else for me if he's really serious about it. And because it's the Saints and it's New Orleans and they do weird things, like, this is like a this is an opportunity he doesn't get anywhere else. Like, I don't think New York or any other NFL market is going to, like, hire the dude that just retired to do the play-by-play. Like, it's, yeah, like, today's point, it's kind of insane, and only in New Orleans would we be like, yeah, it'll work. But, I mean, think of it, Andrew. Like, we've had Buddy D. If you're old enough, you remember Hap Gladi. Like being able to speak well and be in the media in New Orleans, it's not a prerequisite.
I mean, Hokey, Bobby Hebert.
Coming to a TV near you very soon, me. So, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's a great point. Any market that's going to let you do morning television, forget it.
Yes.
All bets are off.
I kind of like how Henderson and Joel Myers, who does the Pelicans play-by-play, I mean, they're homers. You know, they definitely care about
but they'll be angry homers too.
Yeah, and I that's true.
Like the Pelicans. Like, if you watch the Pelicans, it's not. I hate to say it's my favorite thing because it means the Pelicans are doing badly. But one of the things I really enjoy about Pelicans games sometimes is sad, disappointed dad David Wesley. During the game, like when the Pelicans just aren't giving a shit about defense, and you can just feel Dave Wesley like wanting to just rip into him, but he knows he can't because he's the Pelicans color guy. So he's just like sad and disappointed. And him and Joel Myers are just really like sad parents, and it's great. And I think the thing is, like, people worry about that Zach Strief will be too positive and not like Jim Henderson, but Dave, like a play-by-play guy, like he can't be like you can't sugarcoat. Play-by-play. Like, if the Saints suck, like, you're just calling the play. Like, you can't fake it, right? You just, it is what it is.
Yeah, I would assume if Strief sees something that annoys him or upsets him or disappoints him, that you'll be able to tell. Yeah.
But, I mean, on the mechanics of it, like, if another team runs for 400 yards in a game or some shit, like, Zach Strief, he can't, like, lie and, like, sugarcoat it. He's got to call those plays, right. You know?
Right, yeah.
So,
Everybody earmuffs.
Yeah, but he's got two options. He could say, "Oh, and so and so just gashes the Saints for another, you know, 30-yard run." Or he could say, you know, he could do like Jim, you know, did, where, "And there's another 30-yard run up the left side," you know, and make it sound like you can't
monotonous.
You know, yeah, just make it sound like you can't believe that this is still happening.
I think it'll be the
latter.
Without
actually saying, I can't fucking believe this is still happening.
I think it'll be the latter because Strief played for the Saints and he has a deep emotional attachment to them. I think it'll be the latter. So this is a great question from Dylan.
I mean, I think there's going to be moments. I think it's actually going to be the opposite of teams getting runs on the Saints. It's going to be when Drew gets hit. Because you know he's going to be in the booth and he's going to be dying inside thinking, I should have been out there blocking. I should have been protecting Drew. And I think it's when Drew Brees gets sacked that I'm going to be really looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
I know you asked Strief if he would come on the podcast. I hope he will, because the question that I had for him, Andrew, is they said he's called like 100 games. And I'm sure he's called Saints games. So, like, was he calling, like, really old Saints games with, like, Deuce running the ball and Deuce is doing the color next to him? Or is he doing, like, a Saints game where, like, he gave up a sack and he's got to do the play-by-play of Breeze getting sacked and it's his fault?
Where,
like,
did you hear that he did 100 games?
It was in, like, Nick Underhill.
His training, you mean?
Yeah. Like, he did it. He did 100 games, and apparently he did them, recorded
like in
them.
The last month or so?
No, I mean, it's been like the last 3-4 months that he's been in that the Saints have seriously considered this, you know? And I guess...
Okay, but it's not like he 3 years ago he was, like, doing this
no,
in the
no.
summer.
This
fun,
is all
right?
recent, I would assume. And, like, okay. He does the game, and then he, like, sends him out to people that he respects, like, broadcasters, and they critique him and give him notes and stuff. But, like... If he did 100 games, I'm certain he's done Saints games in the last decade. Like, he's not doing random Titan games, right? You know.
Well, it sounds like he's pretty damn serious about
this.
Then.
I mean, it's a great opportunity. And like Dave says, I mean, for an NFL player to go from playing to play-by-play guy of the team he just played for, like it's like I would bet it's unheard of. Like I would bet in the last ever, like it may never have happened. But here's a question.
I mean, look, the bottom line here is he'll either be great or he won't. And if he's not, they'll find someone else. But at the end of the day, let's not forget how much as fans we should love that guy. And I think we should all be wishing for him to be successful. And he deserves a shot because he's freaking Zach Strief. And if you're a member of the media and you have a problem with that, too bad, because he's – Zach Strief.
Here's a question. In
we
5 years,
all love him.
In 5 years, Dave, will he still be the play-by-play guy for the Saints?
Yes.
Andrew?
I'm going to say no because he'll either be bad at it and he'll get replaced, or he'll be good and amazing opportunities will come up.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty rare that, you know, a guy with his experience and his resume gets a job like that. So if he's really good at it, I
teams
just think...
Networks will fall all over themselves to hire him.
Yep.
Dylan asks, more receptions in 2018, Dave, Dion Yedler or Shane Vereen? Yelder.
Yedler. I was about to say, did you pronounce that name right? I'm going to go with Vereen.
Andrew?
Yelder.
What would have to happen for the Saints to disappoint like they did in 2014?
Let's see. What happened in 2014?
They were coming off 2013. They went 11-5.
That was Jarris Bird, right? His first year?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if Kamara falls off a cliff and just isn't any good.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened too in 2014 is
Defense imploded, right?
Well, Jabari Greer got hurt at the end of 2013. Keenan Lewis was a one-hit wonder. He got hurt. And they were just a fucking train wreck at corner. And... that was, you know, they were train wreck at corner. That was the main. That was one of their main issues the whole year. Like they couldn't get it right. And if I remember right,
the Saints will go 7-9 if the following happen. DeMario Davis is a total bust. Davenport ends his rookie year with one sack, and Patrick Robinson is the Patrick Robinson of old. If those three things happen, I think 7-9 is possible.
Yeah, Dave, what would have to happen for them to be disappoint like 2014?
And Kamara has a sophomore slump. I'll add that too.
I mean, honestly, just if both of their rookies of the year slide drastically, I would say that could be enough. To be honest with you,
I think if Cam Jordan or Lattimore got hurt or slid back significantly, they could have issues. Because the thing is, with the division is so good and the schedule is so hard, like it doesn't take a lot for them to fall back. Whereas, like, you know, it's not like they're New England, where New England plays in fucking the shittiest division in football, and they can have a ton of injuries. But because Buffalo and the Jets and You know,
you could say it. She's not listening. She's not listening.
The Dolphins, they're terrible. You know, they like the New England can have a shit ton of injuries, and they can still go 10-6 and or 11-5 and still win the AFC East, no problem. The Saints, man, they get a bunch of the wrong injuries. 11-5 can flip to 8-8, 7-9 real quick.
Yeah.
You know? It's just
that's what people don't realize about the Patriots' dominance is it has as much to do with those three teams just being completely incompetent.
I mean, who has been a good quarterback consistently for like a 3-year window that was in the AFC East that wasn't Tom Brady?
No one.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good question.
Who is the best quarterback that's played in the last since Brady started in the AFC East besides Brady?
Pennington, 1 year in 08. Tony Soprano, rest in peace. They won a division, and the Patriots didn't make the playoffs. I mean, but that was only 1 year.
Yep.
By the way, I was really sad about.
I mean, the answer might be Mark Sanchez, and I'm not kidding.
Here's the thing: I was really sad about Tony Soprano dying because the Wildcat game where they broke out the Wildcat and just
it's Sperano. Sperano. Right?
What did I say? Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
That's the full Ralph right there. So Tony Sperano, like when they did the Wildcat game and they just annihilated the Patriots 38-13, that was me and my wife's, that was like our third date.
My wife.
Because she came over and we watched the game and she was really excited to see the Dolphins kick the shit out of the Patriots. And she was like, I don't understand how this is happening. They're not even really playing a quarterback. And I was like, I don't know, man. They're running the single. I don't know. It was a great memory of mine, and I thought of him, and it made me sad. This is from Idle Irish Minds, Dave. Do you think Ingram is traded before the end of the season?
No, I don't. Why would he be traded?
Nobody wants to trade for a suspended player, ever.
Yeah. Which team is most likely to miss the playoffs? Rams, Vikings, Falcons, or Panthers?
Panthers, and it's not
Panthers.
Close.
Yeah, really.
Let's see. We only have a couple more. With Morstead doing 418 pull-ups today for charity in an hour, is he the best linebacker on the team now?
Oh, that's my favorite question in a while. That's fantastic.
The answer is yes.
I mean, that doesn't deserve an answer. I think that stands on its own as a fantastic question.
And by the way,
I feel like giving an answer to that question would just dilute the genius of it.
And by the way, on Pro Football Focus, Morstead was 10 points clear in their ratings of punters. He was 10 points better than the number 2 punter in the NFL on their little scale, for whatever you want to take that as. Let's see. We have one more, and then we'll get out of here. This is from James. Can Michael Thomas have a 2008 Larry Fitzgerald-type season? Yes or no?
Can who?
Michael Thomas. Can he have a Larry Fitzgerald-type season? 2008. That's like 125 catches and whatnot.
He can.
Will he?
I don't know if he will.
All right, so that wraps up this show. Thanks to everybody for the questions. Remember to donate. You want to have a daily show every day during the football season. $300 gets you one extra show. $600 gets you two. $900 gets you three. $1,200 a month gets you 5 shows a week. You want it? Do it. So for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.